SBS Radio.
And we're at Treglove Mounties, and we've just had a great afternoon with the Slimming of the Year Awards and Slimming Independence Day. And with us, we have two of the presenters, and one being second generation, one being third generation. Some very interesting comments that she's made today as well, so we'll get her opinion on some of those. Firstly, Branko Fabiancic, head of the organising committee and obviously director here at Treglove as well. Great event again. This is the 18th awards that have been on, and we've had a great turnout as well.
Yes, Tanya, it was a fantastic turnout. Full house again. The candidates this year was wide and varied, young and old. I shouldn't say old, but yes, retirees. And it was a great day. A lot of good guests, a lot of good speeches, and I think everyone enjoyed themselves today.
And obviously a lot of award winners, which we're going to be obviously talking to as well, to get their opinions and get their views and a bit more of, their life stories. And that's where obviously we will turn to Stephanie, your daughter, who had a great speech today and obviously was commented on quite a few of the speakers afterwards about this storytelling aspect, that we need to do this storytelling. I wasn't able, obviously, to put the whole speech on today for the show, but I guess from your perspective, why is it so important and why do you think it's so important for us to continue this?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot of talk about first and second and third generations, and not just in Slovenian culture, every culture that's migrated to Australia, really. And I mean, what I really wanted to touch on with that speech was that we are at risk sometimes, I feel, of losing touch a bit with those older generations. And so, yeah, I thought storytelling was a great theme. I sort of took from Australia's history and culture. And like I said in the speech, we are so unique in that we have the oldest living continuous culture in Australia, and that's our Indigenous Aboriginal peoples. And I thought we could take a leaf out of their book. And I mean, they base a lot of their cultural heritage and connections around storytelling. So I think we do get a little bit caught up in, you know, the busyness of everyday life and other social issues, especially young people, where we have a lot of things going on about social inequity and climate change. I know that's a big thing at the moment. But just taking the time to sit down with our older generations, our parents, our grandparents, and taking a moment to sort of ask about their story. And, you know, we're never going to be able to put ourselves in their shoes, but storytelling is such a strong and powerful medium that I think we are at risk sometimes of losing. And so, yeah, my sort of call to arms was to not be complacent, you know. Take the time. It takes 10 minutes to ask someone about their story and about their background, and you can just learn so much. So, yeah, that was sort of the message of my speech today, and I really hope that sort of struck a chord with a lot of people.
And what have you learnt so far in storytelling from your own family?
Oh, a whole amount. I mean, my mum's parents are just absolute chatterboxes, so I've never really had to prompt them, and they just have the most incredible stories. My mum's parents were early 20s, and that's younger than what I am today, and I just can't even imagine being in that position of, you know, trekking through forests for hours and hours with a one-year-old and another one on the way and not even knowing, and then crossing the border into Italy and spending years in a migrant camp before they even knew where they were going. It was only recently that I really probed into my dad's mum's history, and she just told the most incredible stories of her parents being taken by the German soldiers and her dad returning from a concentration camp and weighing only 30-something kilos. And it's just such an incredible thing to hear. And I could never, ever imagine or just envision what that would be like, but it does sort of humble you for a second. So I just think a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of stories out there and a lot of things to say. So ask the question, ask people about their backgrounds, definitely.
And in terms of relations back into the awards, there's obviously a lot of rich stories that come out of these awards, because we get to learn a lot more about what these people have gone through to get to Australia, let alone what they've done in the community.
That's true, and just reading about the struggles they had and to come to Australia without a language and to build what they've built over time and pass that onto their kids and to their grandkids and be proud of it. I mean, I learned something about my uncle today that I didn't know. I know my dad was a carpenter. I always thought my uncle Emil Fabianczyk was a painter, but he wasn't. He was a carpenter too. So these awards just open up so many, you know, chapters in their lives that you think, wow, you know, we've got a lot to learn. And it's, and you forever, every year you learn something. You think you know that person, and there's that little bit that, wow, I didn't know about that.
And what keeps you involved in the awards? Because you've been helping out and hosting some of these award ceremonies for a couple of years now.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I also said this in the speech, the beginning, maybe, you know, 5-6 years ago, was a bit of a, oh, had to come along because Dad sort of made me. But like I also did mention today, my parents have been absolutely fantastic in sort of keeping that curiosity alive in my sister and I. So we do ask questions. We've learnt a great amount from our grandparents, and knowing those stories and knowing the struggles and what they've gone through for us to be here today, that's why I'm here. And that's why I think that message is so important. I mean, I did also sort of touch on the fact that our parents grew up in a very different Australia to what my sister and I and third generation kids would. It wasn't cool to be a WOG, as I use the term lightly, as it was for my sister and I. You can see how, having grown up in that Australia, a lot of my parents' generation probably didn't encourage that in their kids and the third generation. So I feel like there's a gap there, and there's a bit of work there for all of us. And like I said today, I think it's a generational responsibility. I can only encourage so many people, and my voice is only really one in my generation, but also, like I did say today, my generation is the biggest proportion of the population at the moment, so we do have a lot of scope to make a big difference, especially in this space.
Given that we're in 18 years now of these awards, we've seen that they've been very successful until now. Is there any change, I guess, expected for next year, or are we using the same tried and tested formula?
I think we use the same tried and tested, but what we want to do is encourage the next generation to take a little bit more, not so much control, but come up with some ideas. Maybe we might need to change the format a little bit, freshen it up. And this is where, you know, people like Stephanie come on board, hopefully, and say, hey, how about we try this? And this might get the third generation in, and there is even fourth generation out there. Get them involved as well. I mean, the first and second generation have done a fantastic job to get it to this stage. And look, it's been going for 18 years, so something's right. But time changes. So there probably is a need to change a few things here and there, and let's see a different group of people coming through.
And as was mentioned today as well, there's a scholarship in the works here at Treglove Mounties for some lucky students to go and study in Slovenia.
Yeah, that's very much happening now. We're just waiting for the final, how would you say, study outline from Slovenska Matica. The funds are there. Treglove Mounties have provided the funds. So all we're waiting now is for the course outline to come so we can put it out on the radio, in internet, to say, okay, this is what it's going to be all about. We want some interested parties who would like to apply for it.
And so that would be then for the next school year in Slovenia, or?
That'll be for the next school year. And hopefully we'll get some news in the next few weeks, because Walter Schubert is there at the moment representing us at the Slovenian government. And hopefully in the next few weeks we'll have a phone call from him saying it's all systems go.
Okay, well, thank you again, both of you, for a great event this afternoon. Any final parting words that I guess you'd like to encourage anyone else to get involved, I guess, into the awards, and to maybe even nominate, you know, some other people that maybe, you know, we don't know, and that are, you know, the hidden talents out there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people think you need to have moved mountains to have to get an award like today. And as an example, a good, you know, family friend of ours, David Goya, got an award, and to him, he would just be like, this is my job. I opened a business, I opened a butcher. This is what I just do every day. But like they touched in his speech, that type of work is what sort of encapsulate what this award is about. It's about, you know, every day, second, third, hopefully fourth, one day generation migrants, just, you know, having a go in Australia. And yeah, just living their heritage through what they do and through their work. So as a call out, I guess, for future years, don't underestimate your achievements. Don't underestimate what you're doing. The fact that you're even here and living and thriving is an achievement in itself.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.